When you look at a modern yacht alongside a 1920s classic, they don't seem to have much in common beyond, well, with luck, an ability to float and to sail. The rigs might have come from opposite ends of the galaxy. Accommodations have doubled in size for the same waterline length, and don't even talk about the galleys. Lighting a primus, then drawing water using a pump that resembled the painted relic on the village green was no joke, while tipping the washing up water over the side from an enamel bowl and dumping off the cutlery with it was not something you'd want to do twice. These are differences you just can't miss. But what about the engine? The lump, lurking in its box under the cockpit, was cursed as many times as the ignition failed to ignite the petrol, which was most weekends. On bigger boats, the auxiliaries were often spectacular examples of the two- or four-stroke cycles in their most basic form. Nordic boats were specialists in this department. Their semi-diesel one- and two-lungers turned so slowly that you could count every bang. Once running, they never stopped, but starting them was a black art, with each example having its own little ways. I shipped out with a Danish Vorland two-cylinder model in 1969. To deliver its 60 horsepower, you had to start it, and it stood as tall as me. And to get it going, we had first to insert a massive metal rod into a hole in the open flywheel. This was levered round until two marks lined up. We then lit a couple of old-fashioned primus-style blow lamps complete with Meth's primers. We played these on the cylinder heads for 5 minutes or so. When it was judged that the heads were hot enough to explode the injected diesel, we opened a valve and compressed air rushed into one cylinder with a mighty whoosh. This turned the warmed-up engine, which sucked in fuel and air. The other cylinder compressed it and left it with no alternative but to explode. This it did with a will, and away went the machine with a satisfying thump that shook the ship. Anyone with gymnastic ambitions could have walked on the turning flywheel. Meanwhile, up on deck, perfect smoke rings were being blown out of the vertical exhaust at a rate of 1 per second, while the water shimmered with the vibrations spreading out through our ancient planking. The wonderful noise of these magical machines is the sound of the North. It's now a rarity, but even 30 years ago it rang mellifluously around every fjord, village and island. I once met a Scandinavian fisherman who'd broken his leg while working single-handed in such a vessel. He managed to get her back to the dock, where he was carted off in an ambulance, and he forgot to shut down his engine. When he returned a fortnight later, it was still ticking over at 60 RPM. One time, my pal Martin ran his yacht aground on a pile of coral trash in the West Indies. He couldn't get her off, but his dad and another chap happened by just in time aboard an ancient Norwegian fishing boat, originally called Glimt. They floated a long warp down to Martin from deep water, then turned the old boat seawards and upwind to give him a pluck. Glimt had the benefit of her original two-lunger. In deference to its age, this unit was rarely operated at more than half power, but when the yacht failed to shift, they cranked up the revs. Suddenly, the line slackened and Martin was away, but just at the moment of triumph, the head blew off one of the cylinders down in the engine room, immediately forward of Glimp's steering position. It ripped up through the deckhead and landed in the scuppers, very hot indeed. Sooty smuts followed it in rhythmic pulses as the other cylinder kept up the good work, and soon Martin's dad and his chum were as black as the barman whose establishment they planned to patronise that evening. Our engines today are reliable. They're quiet and they're economical, and we should be grateful. But, you know, they do lack a certain character.